One of the things that seems to, I guess you could say, confuse or stump a lot of Christians has to do with God's will, His direction, making decisions, and so on and so forth. What, you know, just how do I know I'm doing the right thing? Well, God's not the author of confusion. There is a way to know if what you're doing is the right thing as far as, you know, His will and His desires for your life. Now, you have to first want to know if you're doing the right thing. And, you know, it's just like, I got these new shoes. You like these shoes? Well, you know, if you're not prepared for an answer you don't like, don't ask the question. Because if people are honest, you know, you could get upset. It's like, well, you know, I'm sorry you asked me the question. You have a choice. I can be truthful or I can lie. I don't want to lie. So if you're not prepared for a bad answer or an answer you don't like, then, you know, please don't ask me any questions. That's why I never ask anybody if they like the sermon. It's just let sleeping dogs lie, all right? We don't want to wake that one up. So anyway, it's like a friend of mine, and I'll kind of get to this, you know, we'll circle back around here to this, but he was really going through a tough time, not knowing what to do. And I said, well, you know, if you pray in tongues enough, God's going to tell you what to do. He said, that's the problem. I don't want to know. I mean, he had just been beaten down, and he just, you know. Well, but if you want to know, there is a way you can know. I want to show you some scriptures on this. First off, look in Jeremiah chapter 10. And I'm going to show you, well, this verse really, I'm going to show you, it's one of those, just accept this truth before you go any further in trying to figure out what it is that God wants you to do in life. And it doesn't matter if it's, does God want me to be a pastor or an evangelist or a what or a this or that? Where does God want me to go to church? Does God want me to date this person? Does God want me to marry this person? Anything, absolutely anything. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. What a powerful revelation. It is not in you to know what you're supposed to do. You do not have that knowledge. You don't know where you're supposed to work. You don't know where you're supposed to live. You don't know what church you're supposed to go to. You don't know anything. Or at least, you know, well, you know some things. But when it comes to knowing what God wants, how can you know what God wants unless God tells you? How can you know for sure that you're on the right path unless God has told you this is what you're supposed to do? And he says right here, I mean, what, you know, just if you wake up in the morning and you just admit this and be honest with yourself, Father, I know that in me I have no knowledge of my way. I have no knowledge, no understanding to direct my steps. I don't know what to do. I am clueless. Well, see, a lot of Christians might have a tough time accepting this because you have a lot of smart Christians. You know, they've been to college, you know, education and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, well, those things are great, but, you know, when it comes to what God wants you to do, that source, that information, it doesn't come from any kind of earthly source. So you can't just sit down and flip a coin. Look over at, in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 14. And in verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we saw over there in Jeremiah that it is not in man to know how to direct his steps. Well, then we see in verse 12 of Proverbs chapter 14, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want you to think on this 12th verse for a moment. Let's eliminate all the stupid decisions. Well, you know, it really seemed right to me at the moment to just walk out of the grocery store without paying for those groceries. Now I realize that wasn't the smartest thing to do. By the way, can you pay my bail? No, let's not even think about those kind of decisions. Let's think about all of those things which are not sin and not foolish. All of the decisions that we make which absolutely seem right and pleasing unto God. Well, okay. An example that pops up to mind is, it seemed right to Paul to go into Asia to preach the gospel. It also seemed right unto Paul to go into Bithynia and preach the gospel. But God knew better. And God told him differently. But it seemed right unto him to go do those things. Likewise, there are things that we can do. It seems right to us. Should we buy this house? Well, you know, the interest rates are really low right now. Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, we do have the down payment. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we both have jobs where, you know, money's coming in. We can afford this house. We can afford the payments. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's not that terribly far from church. Yeah. And good neighborhood, good school system. And, why, you know, everything points to yes. So you buy the house. 2 months later, you lose your job. And now you can't make it on one income. Now you're looking at foreclosure. Now you're wondering, what's God doing? Why isn't He helping us? And God's on the throne saying, may I say something here? You never asked me. Oh, you said you prayed about it, but you didn't hang around long enough for me to tell you what to do. You were so excited based upon your emotions, you believed this was the right thing to do. Well, there are a lot of things that people do for God that seem like the right thing to do. I believe there are a lot of people that have died serving God because they thought it was the right thing to do. Well, you know, there's people down there in the jungle, they need Jesus. Let's go down there and witness. Folks, we're going to get a missions trip together. We're going to go down where no man has gone before. And so we all get together and we go on our missions trip and, you know, half the group gets killed, the other half gets sick. And then we come back and we talk about, we suffered for Jesus. They're rejoicing before the throne, gave their lives, martyrs for the cause of the kingdom. And God's up in heaven saying, you know what? You'd all been one big happy family, still alive, not sick, if you'd have just listened to me. Yes, but we claim territory for the Lord. And God's saying, I could have done it a whole lot better and more effectively. And it's not that the intentions were wrong. But there's a way that seems right unto us, and the end thereof, the ways of destruction, death, loss. This happens so much, and there are a lot of Christians that go through times like that, and they honestly, how many people honestly, the bottom line is this, I just flat out miss God. And nobody wants to admit that. Everybody wants to say God changed his mind or the devil got in the way or my mother-in-law did something. Everybody's wanting to blame everybody else. Well, you know, God never plans failure for anybody. And God's not going to say, here's my plan for your life, and boy, I can't wait to see you fall apart. No. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, destruction, loss. Well, look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 5 it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all your ways. You know, there have been times where I thought I knew for sure what sermon I was supposed to preach. And there have been times when it would have been a good one. But I have sat and I've prayed and I said, Father, I don't want to preach this if you don't want me to. I mean, I'll change here at the last minute. I think this is what you want me to minister on, but, you know, I just... And it's interesting because on a few occasions over the years when I've done that, and I just stopped, I mean, just stopped what I was doing, then he's been able to show me what he really wanted me to minister on. And it wasn't that what I was going to teach on was bad, and maybe it was, you know, for another time, but he changed direction. And it's you know, I don't know how to put it other than it's like there's something that clicks. In other words, it's like the square peg in the square hole. You know, it fits. Like you just, on the inside, you feel it when you know. And there have been times when God has begun leading me into a message where at first I'm thinking, I don't know about this. But then as I continue, it makes sense. I begin to see what he's doing. In fact, that actually happened tonight for this. You know, well, what do you want me to do? And he said, well, get those notes out. The notes that I've used, that he's given me, you know, words and so forth and all. He said, get those out. There's something I want to show you that you've missed. You know, and my immediate mental reaction is, I ain't missed nothing. But it's like, you know, it's like, I have learned. Or at least, no, I'm learning. So I went back and I start looking. It's like, okay, yeah, okay. So anyway, that's how we ended up with this tonight. Well, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm beginning to understand this more and more, that when he says in all your ways, I mean, he really means it. In all your ways. Don't take anything for granted. You remember when God was giving Noah the instructions on how to build the ark? You read all of that stuff, and it's like, my goodness, this seems boring. And then you get into the part where God's giving Moses instructions about how to build, you know, the tabernacle and all the different cloth and all this stuff. And verse after verse after verse of, you know, do it this and that and the color and all these things. And you think, good heavens, you know, what does this have to do with anything? Well, it has everything to do with everything. Because one way to look at that, all of the verse after verse after verse of all of these ongoing instructions is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And all your ways acknowledge him, even to how you make the latchets. And how things are, how big and how long. And this, even down to the people who are supposed to work on the different things. All these intricate details. And it's almost like God is using all of that to emphasize, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. Total success in every area of life. The kind of success to where you never lose, ever. Acknowledge him in everything. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Doesn't matter how many years of ministry experience, what kind of education, it doesn't matter, period. Don't be wise in your own eyes. In other words, you know, this is all, you know, verses 5, 6, and 7. This is a nice way of God saying, assume you are stupid, and I know better. Well, that's kind of what it sounds like here. Be not wise in your own eyes. Assumeth thou art dumbeth. Well, if I have to acknowledge him in all my ways, that means that I really don't have as many smarts as I think I have in all my ways. And that, this is a tough thing to learn. Assume ignorance. Just every morning when you wake up, just say, well, good morning, Father, it's your dumb child down here. I need some help. Now, you know I'm joking around here with this, but literally, we have to assume we really don't know as much as what we think we know, no matter how much we know. And since he's God, you know, let's give him credit. He knows a whole lot more than what we do. Acknowledge him in all our ways. Look over in Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32. Take a look in verse 8. God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Notice he says, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. In other words, the image here is like being in school. I go to the classroom, I sit down, and he says, now I'm going to instruct you and I'm going to teach you in the way that you should go. Assume ignorance. Assume you don't know. Assume you need instruction. Assume you need somebody to teach you. And I know that in many cases, one of the hardest things to do is to just sit still and be taught. Just let God have His way. Acknowledge Him. And just admit, I don't know. I think I know, but apparently I don't. Because, now listen, until I have sat in your presence to receive this instruction, then I really don't know. I think I know. It seems right to me. It seems wise to me. But I really don't know. See, if you don't, if you're not God, you don't know. Therefore, you have to get the information from God. So until you have gone to God and stayed long enough to receive that instruction from Him, you don't know. You don't know. And until you know, you can't do what's right. I mean, you might luck out. But who wants to have a Las Vegas kind of relationship with God? You know, roll the dice and see if I get it right this time. When the whole time God's saying, you don't have to roll the dice. You don't have to draw a card. Just sit there and I'll tell you. I'm not going to hold back on you. I have a purpose for your life. A divine holy purpose. I want you to know all about it. Look in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now look at this. The steps. Do you see that word steps? Do you know what that represents? It represents one step at a time. This is going to make a whole lot of sense to you in just a moment. The steps of a good man. When I think of steps, I don't think of running. I mean, maybe you have a different image, but in my mind, steps indicates, you know, walking. Not running, but walking. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ordered. They are set in place. They are ordained. They are established by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. You say, well, is that God delighting in my way or me delighting in God's way? Well, if God's ordered my steps and I'm walking those steps, we are both delighting in the way I am going. I'm delighting because I know what He wants me to do. He's delighting because I'm doing what He wants me to do. So it's double delight. We're both happy. But I will, look, I will have delight when I'm doing what God wants me to do. You say, yeah, but this next verse here says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Well, I don't want to fall. I don't either. He didn't say fail. You see this? He didn't say fail. He says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. That means cast down. Okay, here, that doesn't mean a whole lot to us. But back in those days, when a sheep would eat too much, it would, you know, get fat. But if it would fall, sheep aren't that, sometimes they're not very coordinated. And if it's on like a little bit of an incline or something and it falls and it rolls over and it lays there and it can't get back up. And that's referred to as being cast down. The sheep is cast down. And if a sheep is cast down, unless a shepherd comes along to help that sheep get back up on its feet, it will die. It will die. In some cases, it actually suffocates because the weight of all of its internal organs presses upon like its lungs and, you know, what we would call diaphragm and all that, and it can't breathe and it dies. Or animals come along and just, you know, eat away. Nothing they can do. And so he says right here, look, though you fall, you will not be cast down. You might stumble. You know, you may trip and fall, but you're not going to be cast down. Because, see, if I'm walking His path, His direction, He's there with me every step of the way. And if I trip and fall, He says, whoa there, come on, get back up, let's go. Perfect example. Well, one of many good examples in Scripture. Remember Jesus walking on the water? Peter says, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus says, well, come. What was he supposed to do? It was him. Peter didn't give him many choices. So Peter, you know, steps out of the boat. He starts walking on the water. And I can, you know, waves and everything. And I can see him, you know, like, whoa, check this out, dude. I'm walking on the water. Well, then he got his eyes off Jesus. And he was cast down. Or he fell. But he was not cast down. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him back up on the water, and hand in hand, they walked back to that boat on the water and stepped into it. Praise God. They reached their destination. And God's telling you, listen, just because you're walking the path that I've set before you, and you're following me, and you're following my will, if something does happen along the way and you stumble and fall, number one, don't let it overwhelm your emotions to the point that you lose sight of me. I mean, it's like he's telling you ahead of time, this could happen. But he's also saying, I'll be there for you and I will uphold you with my hand. How many of you have ever, parents, grandparents, you know, you got a little, you know, like 3-year-old, you're holding your hand and you're walking. And, you know, kids sometimes, they're not too steady on their feet and, you know, the kid falls. What do you do? Just like let them go and say, you dopey kid, you know, get up. No, when the kid starts to fall, I mean, you got a hold of their hand. You don't let go. And what happens many times when those kids start to fall? What do? They look up to see if you still got a hold of them. And what do? You speak kind words. You speak loving words to that child to encourage them. So like, come on, let's go. Come on, get back up. You're okay. And sometimes it scares them more than it hurts them. And they go, all they want is a hug and a kiss. You give them a hug and a kiss. You're okay. I love you. I love you. Papa loves you. I love you more than anybody else because I'm Papa. And then and they say, I know you do. And you go on your way. And they're happy. And this is the image that he's describing. I'm your father. I'm not going to let go of you. Listen. Get in my presence. Let me teach you. Let me instruct you. Let me give you the path to walk and walk it. And if you trip and fall, you are not going to be cast down. In other words, you're not going to be left for destruction. He's going to pick you up. He will not let go of your hand the whole time. Look in Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And take a look here in verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. Your ears, what ears? My physical ears? My spiritual ears. Your ears will hear the voice of the Lord, your Father, say, this is the way. Turn right, turn left, go straight. This is the way. Walk you in it. Here, this is the path. Walk this path. This, again, is the image of hearing the instruction from the Father. Because, see, I don't know. Turn right, turn left, go straight. I don't know. Unless I hear Him say this to me. When I hear Him tell me, then I know what to do. And oftentimes, it's just like, who was it? Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. When you come to a fork in the road, some people got to scratch their head on that one. So what? It's like he said, that restaurant over there, nobody ever goes there anymore because it's always too crowded. When you come to a fork in the road, you wait until you hear. Turn to the left, turn to the right. You don't pull a Hansel and Gretel. Remember that story? following the, you know, breadcrumbs and all this stuff, and, you know, going to the gingerbread house and all. Destruction. That old witch was waiting there for them. We've got some weird stories we tell our kids, don't we? Stick to the Bible, all right? Just leave the David and Bathsheba till they're older. So he says, your ears will hear a word. He says, you have the ability to hear my voice. You see this? Your ears, in other words, he's speaking this. This is an assumptive statement. That you are going to hang around long enough and listen to me. And I'll speak and you'll hear me. You're going to hear me. I'll speak to you. This is one of the things that really, it frustrates so many Christians. I just can't hear God. I just can't hear God. Well, I am convinced that a lot of people are hearing God, but they're listening for something other than what they're hearing. When God speaks, it isn't going to sound like me. And it's not going to sound like Darth Vader. You have failed me for the last time. I find your lack of faith disturbing. No. God's not going to sound like Darth Vader. It's going to sound like... It's going to remind you of you. He's going to sound more like you than anybody else when he speaks. That's because you're more comfortable with your voice than any other voice. There'll be a little bit of a difference there. But he's not going to speak in Chinese or Russian or anything. It's going to be in English. Now in China, he'll speak to them in Chinese. In Russia, Russian. You know, Brazil, Portuguese. Oh, you mean he doesn't know Brazilian? It's one of those nights, I guess. I don't know. This is an assumptive statement. He expects you're going to hear him. That's because he's designed us, our born-again spirits with spiritual ears, to hear him. I want to read to you something that he gave to me. This is really interesting. He said, it's like Jesus. Remember when Jesus was here on earth and he says, it's expedient for you that I go away. And then we'll send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He's been with you, but he shall be in you. And what that means is that the work the Holy Spirit does within our lives takes place inside, not outside. Well, it's like Jesus was saying, progressive revelation is the primary method by which the Holy Spirit ministers in your life. Progressive revelation. It is a revelation of progress in the will of God. Each step is into a new level of God's will and glory. Each level is a temporary place of training and preparation for the next step. Each level is a place of spiritual rest and renewal. But if you do not keep seeking me, you will stay where you are. Now that sounds, it's so simple, but it's so incredibly profound. Progressive revelation. This is the kind of revelation, in other words, step by step, one step at a time. Progressive revelation is a primary method by which the Holy Spirit ministers in your life. It is a revelation of progress in the will of God. Each step is into a new level of God's will and glory, and each level is a temporary place of training and preparation for the next step. In other words, when you reach that next level, it's not God's plan is not for you to stay there. When you reach that next level, yeah, praise God, success and all that. But at the same time, God says, okay, now it's time for some spiritual rest and refreshing, but at the same time, I'm going to begin teaching you and preparing you for the next step into the next level. That's just like when you finish first grade, You can rejoice all you want to, but second grade is around the corner. And for the next, 10, 11, 12 years, that's what it's going to be. You finish sixth grade. It's like, hallelujah, I'm done. It's like, the Beverly Hillbillies. Remember Jethro? He was so proud of the fact. He graduated from sixth grade. It impressed everybody, but the people who knew there was a seventh grade and an eighth grade and so forth. And so this progressive revelation is something I think that escapes a lot of Christians because it's like, just I want it all like that. I want it all. I want it all. I want it now. And God says, well, you ain't getting it all now. I will give you progressive revelation of my will, step by step, step by step. When I get to the next level, He's going to prepare me for the next level. And when I'm ready, then I go to the next level. Thing is, if we don't continue, like he said, if you don't continue seeking me, you stay right where you are. So if I'm at level 5 right now, and I just, last year I was at level 4. The year before that, I was at, level 3. The year before that, 2, and so forth. Now here I am at level 5. Well, you know what? I could be at level 5 for 10 years if I don't do anything to get ready for level 6. And God is not going to take me to level 6 until I'm ready for level 6. That's just not going to happen. So I have to continue, as he said here, to seek him. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. In verse 30, it says, "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that you went until you came unto this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day." Now what's interesting is that somebody would say, well, man, Old Testament. Oh, you think God won't do this for you now? You really don't think that God is going to go before you and prepare the way? Remember in Scripture he talks, prepare the way, for the Messiah who's coming. I'm paraphrasing. You don't think God's going to go before you and prepare the way for you? You think he's just going to hang back and wish you the best? No. If he did that for this, let's type in shadow here. If he did this for them, he's going to do that for us too. So this means that God has gone before me. I mean, I'm here at level 5, but he has gone before me preparing level 6. He's got it ready, and he's working on level 7 and level 8. You got the imagery. God has gone before me, and he is preparing everything that I need, whatever, it doesn't matter. Everything relative to my kingdom success at the next level, he has gone before me and prepared it. Praise God. And it says here, he went before you, and in verse 31 it says, in the wilderness where you've seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son. In other words, there they were in the wilderness. Well, it says here in verse 32, yet in this thing, ye did not believe the Lord your God. They fussed and bellyached and complained about the wilderness conditions, and they failed to realize that God was bearing them up the whole time. Cloud by day, fire by night. His presence, get this, his presence was before their eyes all the time. And can you imagine? We just don't know what God's doing. We just, why isn't God helping us? And there's the fire right in front of them. There's the cloud right in front of them the whole time. Every day. Well, I just don't know if God's out there for us. He's going to let us die. But he's right there. He never left them, and he never forsook them. He was there the whole time, and yet they still doubted, and they still didn't believe. Now God has said he'll never leave us, never forsake us. How in the world can we complain? The cloud by day and the fire by night, you understand that's symbolic? He was on the outside with them, but he is now on the inside That cloud and that fire is on the inside of me, praise God. That's why He said, you're going to hear that voice. It's going to be on the inside. The Holy Spirit within. He does His work within. He's there. I don't have any room to fuss and complain whatsoever. Look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. See, it's really a matter of just accepting, again, first off, that we don't know, and that we are ignorant. And that's not meant to be an insult. I mean, we are ignorant of the things of God, the will of God, what He wants us to do. Because until I hear that voice, and still until I sit down and receive that teaching and that instruction and so forth, I don't know. Well, here in Isaiah 43, in verse 15, He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Well, that's the imagery, you know, of Israel coming out. Which bringeth forth the chariot and horse and army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He goes before you and makes those ways. See, there are going to be times where God will tell you to do something, give you instructions, and in your mind, you sit there and you think, how in the world is this supposed to be done? I mean, there's no way. And the whole time, God has prepared that river in the wilderness. He has prepared that way through the waters. He's saying, remember when the priests bear the ark as Israel was getting ready to cross over? It wasn't until their feet touched the water that the miracle took place. In the meantime, it was like, I don't think so. Flood stage? Look at those rivers. Look at this water. Look at the current. I don't think so. But they bear the ark. What was the ark symbolic of? The presence of God. And as soon as their feet touched the water, boom, miracle. The water stopped, dry ground, off they went. Type and shadow, where is the ark now? It's in here. I'm bearing the ark of God's life. Therefore, if the waters look treacherous and it looks like it's a wilderness, God says, I've ordered your steps. Take the first one to get the revelation of the new thing that I have set before you, the new thing that I have gone before you to do, to make it ready for you. But if we don't do our part, we're not going to begin to see what He has already gone before us and done. Listen to this. He said, now keep in mind the verses we've read here tonight. He said, if I have revealed that the knowledge of your way is not in you, and I have told you not to lean to your own understanding and reasoning, then I would be a fool not to provide you with access to someone who knows what you should do and where you should go. That someone is the Holy Spirit. If He's going to say, don't, but yet He wants me to do His will, then He better give me somebody who knows. And praise God, He has. The Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus is with the Father. Jesus, literally, the literal person of Jesus, He's not in me. Now, His life is in me, but there's not a literal, you know, little Jesus running around on the inside. But I do have the Holy Spirit. And He is with me, in me, to commune with me, to share with me, speak to me, tell me, instruct me. He's my teacher. And as I pray in tongues, His is that voice that I will hear saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. He's the one that carries the full revelation of the will of the Father for my life. And the more that I pray in tongues, the more He is able to give me that progressive revelation of each step that I'm supposed to take in the fulfillment of God's will for my life. Today I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, pray until you find out the next step. So I pray and I pray and I pray, and he begins confirming to me what I'm supposed to do next. So I take that step. Well, I don't know what to do. Well, how'd you get to where you are? Well, I prayed until the Holy Spirit showed me. Well, duh. Do it again. I pray. And finally, and I end up taking the next step. And then I end up taking... Then pretty soon, you know what happens? I take a step right into the knowledge that God's called me to be a prophet. Or a teacher. Or whatever. And see, once you step into that knowledge, it's almost like you knew it all the time, but you didn't know it. That's because it becomes so real to you. And it's not just your ministry calling, it's everything in life. Don't assume anything about your ways, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. There's only one way this is going to happen, and that is if you spend time with Him. That's the only way He can teach you. That's the only way He can instruct you. And see, Satan will fight you tooth and nail on this. See, Satan's more interested in stealing your time than he is anything else. Because if he can steal your time, then he can steal your fellowship with the Father. If he steals your fellowship with the Father, you begin to lose sight of how much he loves you. And if you begin to lose sight on the intimacy of that relationship, it becomes easier and easier to do things that you would never have done before. Satan is after your time. And that's why it seems so hard to spend time with him. I fight this battle too. All these different things you got to do. Well, he fights you so hard for your time. How many times have you gone to bed? Tomorrow I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to pray. And it doesn't happen. All of a sudden, tomorrow this and tomorrow that. And you know how it goes. But if you want your paths directed, if I want to know, if I want to receive this instruction and this teaching and what I'm supposed to do, what His will is for my life, the only way it's going to happen, the only way, guys, you cannot have a prayer line and impart that knowledge. You can't. The only way this is going to happen is if you and I spend time with the Lord to receive that instruction from Him. Otherwise, we will never, ever know it. And we'll do a lot of things, good things, things that we do them for the Lord. In fact, He even says, look, you to put it in my own words, you can't even give a prophet a cup of cold water and not get a reward for that. So in other words, it's not that God's saying, everything you do for me is loss? No. But there is a perfect will. And He honors everything that we do for Him. Every aspect of our lives that we lay down. He honors that. But if that's not the path He wants us walking, He'll just say, I appreciate everything you're doing for me. I really do. But, there's a better way. And if you just spend time with me, I will begin to give you the progressive revelation of this better way to help you know exactly what it is I want you to do in life. I don't want to just do good things for God. I want to do what God knows is right. I want to do His perfect will for me. And I'll never know it if I don't spend time with Him. So I want to encourage you with this tonight. Encourage you to know that God will impart to you His absolute perfect will, but you have to spend time with Him. And if you do, and praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to begin releasing that information to you, and you will know what God wants you to do. Praise the Lord. If I don't know what His will is right now, at least I know how to find out. Praise God. One of the things that is... I don't know if you want to say frustrating about a message like this. We hear this message and we think, yes, praise God. I'm going to find out what the will is. I'm going to get in there and pray and progressive revelation. Hallelujah. But you know who's waiting for you? Satan comes immediately to steal the word that's sown. Well, the word's been sown tonight in all of us. And Satan, I mean, it's like he's standing outside the door of the church. Just waiting for you. I'll be up pretty soon. Not pretty soon. How, seriously, think about this. How many of you have ever felt like your mood changed within half an hour after you left church? What do you? What are you? Are you that, you know, psychotic? Why do you think that is? How can you be so gung-ho in church, and then before you pull out of the parking lot, you're already down in the dumps? How can that happen? It's because it's an attack of the enemy. This message is no different whatsoever. Satan knows that if we take this message and we apply it, we're going to get the knowledge of the will of the Father. No question. So therefore, he's got to fight us on this. And right now, we're thinking, you know, I mean, it's like been a pep rally. We're ready to go, ready to pray, get this knowledge. Let's go. Hurry up, finish while I get home and pray. And the intentions are right, our heart is right, and we mean it. But Satan works so hard to pinpoint any weak area of our lives. And those are the areas that he attacks to keep us from doing what we know we ought to do. So, like Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. And if you stumble and fall in your good intentions, let the Father pick you back up, get you back on the path, and just fight for your time, do this, and know the will of the Father.